Welcome to the June 8th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, and the sermon is entitled Heirs of the Promise, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
I'm grateful today to be in the house of the Lord, amen? And as we do that, I ask that you take your Bibles, go to Galatians chapter number 4. We open another chapter together today, but it will be the same message in which Paul is building off of. And so we understand that it's hard preaching. I want you to know this is hard preaching. It feels like the same thing 6 or 7 weeks in a row. But it's that serious that the Galatian people need to understand. And so today I start with a story about a young woman that was struggling to pay her bills. Life has gotten difficult and she continues to press on to make ends meet. She tries to raise her family. She does what she needs to, taking on outside jobs to help just to pay the bill. One day she gets a call from a lawyer stating someone that she was distantly kin to has named her in a will and she will receive an inheritance. This woman didn't do anything to deserve it, but because her name was written down, her life changed forever. You may be hearing this story today saying this, I wish that was me. Or you may hear this story and say, that never happens, only in the movies. But here's what I want you to know, in reality and in the spiritual sense, it happens every day. We are not heirs of a promise of God by our own merit, by our own minds, by our own motives. We cannot work hard enough. We cannot do it in our own strength. We cannot be good enough or obey enough rules to think that we belong in the family of God. We are heirs of a great promise simply because our faith has been placed into Jesus Christ. And so today, my prayer is this, more importantly than you are an heir to anything in the physical world, that you are heir of the great promise of God spiritually because your faith has been placed in Jesus Christ. We ended chapter number 3 last week by Paul using these words, and if ye be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You are an heir by faith in Christ. And so we concluded last week's sermon by asking the question, do you belong to Jesus Christ? Have you placed your faith in him? And we pick up on that as we open chapter 4, that there were no inspirations of chapters when there were no chapter divisions when God's word initially came out. So we move on into chapter 4 with what it looks like to be an heir of the promise and what it looks like as a child of God, knowing that your name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life and you are an heir to the promises of God. And so today, Galatians chapter number 4, verses 1 through 7 is the entirety of our scripture, but we're going to start with verses 1 through 3. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Point number one today, when we think about being heirs of the promise, is we need to look at ourselves or see ourselves first as servants, not sons. Servants, not sons. Paul opens this chapter continuing an argument that we are children, are sons of God by faith. As he ended chapter 3 saying that we must belong to Christ and that we have that same promise that Abraham had because of faith. But Paul uses the word child here. Now, in our minds, what is a child? All right, I got to do it. It's hot up in here. What is a child? A child, we could label it in our culture as an age thing. Maybe you would consider a child someone under 10. But here's the reality. There are some 20-year-old children running around in the world. Right? Amen? And there are some much older than 20 as well. But I'm not saying it's not bad to be a child at heart, but what we understand here, child in Paul's language is this, someone that needed attention or to be taken care of by someone else. And as this child was raised in the Roman culture, in this home, it would be raised not by the parents, it would be raised by the servant. So as this child was born, even though because of their family, they would be an heir to something, they're a child and they're not an heir yet because they are considered a servant. Let me explain it this way. As that child was born and raised, the servant would take care of that child in the home. Even though by birth and by blood, this child could receive whatever the parents had, whatever was entitled to it, they could not do it because of their age. But this child, raised by the servant, answered to the servant, ate with the servant, played with the servant's children, this child, even though it had the rights of an heir, was under different guardians or tutors than his own biological family. Now, please stay with me. I try not to confuse you here. But you've got to understand Paul's defense. And he uses this picture as a child growing up under the tutelage of a servant, of a slave. And at the right appointed time, the father would be the determining factor of when this child could become an heir. As this child grows up, this child learns to make decisions on their own. They have reached the age of maturity, and they are bought in the family's lineage. The father determines them to be full-grown heirs to what the father had. Paul says in verse number 3, look there, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Paul says this, we used to be those children under the bondage of the elements of the world. Think basic principles. Think the ABCs, if you will. Just like the child that is deserving of the inheritance, he was under the guidance of a servant. The Jewish people were in bondage to a law. They were in bondage to what the law had to say. And so, Paul likens these children that grow up under a different guide as to the Israelites growing up under the law. And what Paul says, there is something more. There is something more. And that child, as he grows up, knows there is something more that he stands to inherit when he reaches this certain age. Paul says, I have lived under that law, and I want you to know, the Lord peeled back my eyes to see there is something more to live for. Instead of being heirs of the law, which put them in bondage, which they didn't have ownership or access to God because it was all bound by the law. And what Paul is saying this, it has put us in bondage. Now remember, these little children that Paul writes to are children that he loves and that he wants to grow up, but they are under right now this law that is hindering their growth. Here's what I want you to know. The Israelite people may have been servants to the law in this time, but what about you and I today? There was a time, if we all are truthful and look back, that we were servants, not sons. We were servants to sin. We were servants to ourselves. We were pride-filled. We were not humble people. We were full of sin, and we deserved death. And yet, out of God's grace and mercy, He has made us not servants, but sons. Part of growing up is realizing that you too were once a servant. And that servant was something other than God. It was what God detested. It was sin. And so I pray today, as growing Christians, we can look back and see we used to serve something that was not of God. As Paul lays that foundation here to these people in Galatia. Look at verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. If you underline, write, circle, highlight in your Bible, these are two verses that you need to highlight. We understand that we, the Galatian people, were servants to the law. We have been servants to sin, but we also need to understand and we need to see the sending of God's Son. Paul says this, the children are in bondage, so what does God do? How many of you know God has a plan? Oh, gosh. Let me ask it. Can y'all give me one more? How many of you know that God has a plan for your life? Thank you, church. Thank you. I hope you know that. That is something that we should be thankful for. Even though I don't know what that plan fully looks like, here's what I want you to know. We must trust God. We must trust God with that plan. And Paul says this, God had a plan. As the law, as he seen that it was not perfect and it had its issues, there was a plan at the right time that God would send his son. Here's what I want you to do. I want you for the rest of this sermon to look for the Trinity. Don't look for the word Trinity, but I want you to look for the Father, I want you to look for the Son, and I want you to look for the Holy Spirit. Because the Trinity is all here. God is at work. And God is at work because he sends Jesus at the right time. I want you to know that these two verses could be a sermon in and of itself. What does the right time look like? For God, it was a time where nations needed Jesus more than ever. The world needed Jesus. But from a historical perspective, Rome was essentially at peace. They had created a vast system of roads that would take the gospel message to the world. Greek was the primary language for many areas, so it could be spoken that the truth of the gospel would spread like a wildfire. But biblically, the timing would fulfill God's promise that a Savior would come at the right time. I'm going to step away from my notes and just say this. I don't know what brings you here today, and I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing, but here's one thing you can never question. Never question God's timing. He's never too early. He's never too late. He's an on-time God, as the song says. And the chorus says, yes, he is, right? God is on time. And if he could orchestrate the world, and if he can look down and see that his world was sin-filled and it needed a Savior, surely he can look down where you are today and let you know that he has it all taken care of. Hallelujah. Trust God's timing. But in the right time, in the fullness of time, when it was come, when it was right in the eyes of God, verse number 4 says, God sent forth his Son. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas time in June. This is the message of Christmas. At the perfect time when God Almighty seemed fit, he sent Jesus to us. Thank you. Because it was the only way that a sin-filled world could be saved, could no longer be in bondage any longer. But verse number 5 says that not only did God send forth his Son, this Son was made of a woman and made under the law. Those are two key statements speaking to that Jesus was fully human because he was made of a woman, and speaking that he understood what the burden and the bondage of the law would be because he grew up a Jew. He was a Jewish boy. He grew up under Jewish parents, and he would grow up in that system of bondage. But the sending of God's Son is so important, not just to the nation of Israel, but it is important for you and I as believers today. In chapter number 4, you see that when children get to the right age or when they get to the right time in their life, they become an heir. But you see now that God, in his right timing, sends Jesus to be the propitiation of sin, as the Bible says, to take our punishment and our place. If Jesus was not sent by God, we would have no reason to be here today. How important is Jesus to you? I want you to see that this was intentional and eternal. It was God's plan. It was his intentional plan, but it had eternal consequences, and it would be the new covenant that would replace the bondage that the law had brought to the people of God. With this statement, we see a loving God waiting to live in this world, coming to this world, taking upon human flesh and human form to understand what his prized creation would go through. He endured everything you and I would endure, except he did it perfectly without sin. He did it perfectly without sin. Job in Job 14 writes this, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Jesus was born of woman and he knew what that trouble was like. And so we understand that coming from a woman, he would understand the fully human aspect of what you and I face. And he understood by being under the law, the bondage that that would bring. Paul's point here is God has become fully man. As he was under that law, as a Jewish man, his parents went to the synagogue, they read the Torah, they talked to God, they fulfilled the law the best they could, but Jesus never sinned. Why in the world would this happen? Look at verse number 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Verse number 5 tells us that there was a twofold purpose, according to this verse, that Jesus would come. He would come to redeem, and he would come to adopt. That's why Jesus came. He would redeem us from the curse of sin and get us out of our slavery and bondage to sin. But because Jesus was a man, he understood that weight. He understood the struggle, and he understood the world. Because Jesus was God, he was perfectly under that bondage and under that curse, and he was made the curse for us. Now listen, I know this is hard preaching, but the idea of being redeemed, made right in the eyes of God, not by what we have to do, but what God has done through Jesus, is the foundation of our faith. And it needed to be the foundation of the faith of people in Galatia that did not know exactly where they stood. They were being influenced by outside sources and by those that were faithful to the Mosaic law. And so Paul is setting the record straight. You have been redeemed by God through Jesus Christ, not by fulfilling a set of laws and rules. Church, you have been redeemed by Jesus Christ. If you are a believer today, you have been redeemed. When God looks at your life, he does not see your sin and your imperfectness. He does not see you for who you should be. He sees you for the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been placed on your shoulders. Praise be to God. If Jesus saw me how he should, he'd strike me dead today. That's what I deserve. But praise be to God, he sees the righteousness of his son, Jesus Christ. He wanted to redeem us, but he also adopted us. Some of you in this room may understand adoption. Taking someone that does not belong to you and welcoming them into your family. Oh, it's a beautiful picture, but it is the picture that is painted by Jesus as we have been adopted into his family. So we're not just connected to the big guy in the sky. Now, can I tell you something, church? When you call God the big guy in the sky, here's what it tells me. You don't know him personal. Because he's more than a big guy in the sky. He is my God. He is the reason that I live. And so today, knowing that not only you have been redeemed, but you have been adopted into the family of God, that can only happen through Jesus. And church, we should worship him for that. We should be so thankful that we are a part of the family of God. If I can simplify this, I could have preached this in 1 minute. We are talking about a relationship with God, how we have been servants and slaves to sin and rules and the law. Jesus was sent to redeem us, to pay the price, to set us free. He did that with his life. By faith, we have been adopted into the family of God. And here's what Scripture says in verse number 5, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, most of the time, we can take that word sons and it can mean male and female. But here's what you need to know. In this culture, the sons were the only ones that received the inheritance. So I know your gender may be female, but we are sons of God because we have an inheritance directed from Jesus Christ. We are counted equal with Jesus. And I'm getting into that now for my next point. But you are sons. That means you are titled to the same inheritance as Jesus. We are joint heirs with Christ. Look at verses 6 and 7. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Point number three today is this, that we have been adopted as sons. Three distinct promises today as you trust Jesus, and we end this sermon. The first one is this, the promise of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse number 6. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're trying to figure out, am I truly a believer? Am I truly a child? Am I truly a son of God, a daughter of God? Am I truly in the family of God? You know, through my teenage years, I often doubted my salvation. Today, there's no doubt of my salvation. I know I'm an heir. I know I'm a son of God. But here's what we think about. If you are doubting where you stand with God, here's what the Bible teaches. One of the factors if you are saved or not is if the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Do you have the Holy Spirit living in you? That doesn't mean you're perfect, but that means when sin pops up in your life, the Holy Spirit leads you away from that. He is your guiding principle of everyday life. And you have surrendered your life to that leading as a child of God. The Holy Spirit lives within you. It has been sent by God. And I hope that you see the third part of the Trinity and the Holy Spirit here. That Holy Spirit should be present and principle in your life. As the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you, he is present in the temple, which is your body. So today, if you're doubting, am I saved or not? Look and see if there's evidence that the Holy Spirit is there. It should be if you are a child of God. There's no doubt as a child of God that the Holy Spirit is in you. Know that God is present in your life. The second one is the end of that verse, is because of the Spirit is in your heart. It says this, he sends forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So the second part of this point is this, there should be a cry from your life to please the Father, God Almighty. If you are a child of God, that term Abba, here's what it means, Daddy. Out of all the millions of people around, there are only two people in this world that can call me Daddy. Many of you call me Pastor, that's an honorable title. But there are only two people in all the world that have the privilege to call Jeffrey Daddy, Levi and Ethan. Here's what this verse says. As children of God, we have the privilege when we bow our heads and we pray, or when we hold our hands up and our eyes are wide open, that we can lift our head and lift our hands to an almighty God, the God of the universe, and we call him Daddy. Abba, Father. You have a direct connection to the God of the universe through your faith in Jesus Christ. What a remarkable benefit to be a child of God, to be able to call him Father. That should increase our prayer life, believers, that we can take anything to the Lord in prayer. We have been adopted into the family, and we, by the Spirit that is in us, can now cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, I need your help. Praise be to God. Verse number 7, that we're no longer a servant, but a son. And if we are a son, then now we are an heir of God through Christ. As verse 1 started this morning about being a servant, as that child was young, when you grow up and when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, There is a time where you are no longer a servant to the sin and to the world. You became a son of God, a daughter of God. And that sonship, that gives us direct connection to God, but it also allows us now to become an heir. What does that mean? It means exactly what you think it means. If you are an heir to your family's estate, when something happens, you get it all. I will warn you this. For some, that's a blessing, and for some, that's a curse. Because it tears families apart. The physical does. But to be an heir with Jesus, friends, today, we are entitled to all the promises that are found in this book. Because we are family, we are sons, we are heirs with Christ, with our Father, Abba Father. What does it mean today? Here's what it means. You remember the story of the prodigal son from Luke chapter 15? I like to refer to that as the loving father instead of the prodigal son. But what happens when that prodigal son, he runs to the world, he gets his inheritance, he runs to the world, he squanders it all, and he comes to himself. And when he goes back home, what does he desire? He doesn't desire more stuff. He's already squandered it. What he desires is to be a servant in the Father's house. And what does that story teach us? That the Father lovingly gives him a robe and kills the fatted calf. And he says, no, you're not a servant. You are my son. Today, many Christians are wrapped up feeling like they've got to work and they've got to serve and they got to do in order to feel like they're doing the right thing. That's not a relationship. That's bondage. You're a servant. How do we become sons? How do we become daughters? How do we become heirs with Christ Jesus? Simply put your faith there and be obedient. Let the Holy Spirit lead your life. Follow Him faithfully. Give your all. Live your life for Him. Yes, we need to serve Him, but we're more than servants. We're sons. And that's the message of this day. Praise the Lord that through Jesus, we can be set free from the bondage that rules bring. But we can be adopted into the family of God through our faith and become not only family, not only become sons and daughters, but heirs to every promise that is in the book and in the Word of God. Today, I don't know how you're going to leave church. I'm finishing up 5 minutes early. You ought to be thankful for that. That shouldn't be the only thing that makes you happy today. When you leave out of here, you leave out of here knowing that either you are an heir with Jesus, or you're not. Don't pack your stuff up yet. Today, if you're sitting in this room through the Holy Spirit's work, you know if you're a child of God or not. You know if you're like the prodigal or not. Some of you in this room are children that have asked for the inheritance and you've squandered it. You come back to the loving Father. You come today. But today, if you're sitting here and the Holy Spirit is telling you, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm in the family. I'm a child of God. Talk to the Lord about that. Pray that. Talk to me about that. Come today, because here's the truth. Jesus died for your sin so that you can be an heir in the family of God. Today, don't leave this room without knowing that you're in the family. If you leave knowing you're not in the family, you are walking a dangerous line. Praise be to God that I'm looking at heirs today. Our name is written down. We have the inheritance. But it's not for us to sit here and wait for that one day. It's for us to go and be obedient every day and live for Jesus as we are the temple of a holy God. And we have that relationship. Praise be to God today. Today, leave out of here knowing you are a child of God, believer. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for a moment and a message that encourages the believer. God, today we know that we are joint heirs with Christ. Thank you for the great promises of your word. Lord, help us day by day to become more like Jesus. More like you intend us to live our lives. More bold in our faith. God, thank you that we understand that the redeemed of the Lord need to say so. Give us the strength to do that this week. Lord, for those that are here today, maybe the one in this room that doesn't know if they're in the family of God, God, I pray, Lord, that you will minister to their heart and you will work in their life to show them your great love. Lord, that you will bring them to yourself. Thank you, Lord, that you do all of that work. But God, I pray today, Lord, that they will do their part and simply surrender their heart and their life to you. God, thank you for that great love that you have for us, that great hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Today, I pray, Lord, that as we stand and sing, that you will allow us to rejoice as children of the Most High. We love you. And we give you this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.